And so I like to title my messages, and this is titled Baptized with Power. And there are moments in our Christian life when God does more than just give us salvation. He strengthens us. There's moments in our life when God does more than just forgive us of our sins. He fills us. There's more times that he wants more than just calling us. He also wants to clothe us. And the problem that I see, and maybe it's just me, but I don't think it is a lot of times we as a church only want the salvation. We only want the forgiveness of our sins. Heard a preacher say one time, we just want the get out of jail free card, you know, to be able to go into heaven. And God has much more for us and much more he would like to give us. But the truth of the matter is, that depends on us. And the much more that is available to us is called a lot of different names and a lot of different times. A lot of it's dependent upon the denomination of the church that you're in. Some people call it baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some people call it rededicating your life. Some people call it an anointing from God. I like to call it the baptism of power. And the reason that I like to call it that is because that's what we're promised with it, is power. And if you got your Bibles, I'm going to read a scripture here in Acts chapter 1, starting at verse number 4. Acts chapter 1, verse number 4. I'll wait just a second if you want to turn. All right, Acts chapter 1, starting at verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus is doing the commanding, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which your Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me unto both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. All right, I've got a method to my madness, and after I read the scripture, I always like to pray. Reason I like to pray is I am a nervous wreck every time I get up here, and the reason I'm nervous is because this is something that's important, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. And so if you all will, just pray for me and with me. Dear Grace Heavenly Father, Lord, come to you once again, Lord, asking your blessings upon this time today, Lord. I just pray right now, Lord, that you give me the strength and the wisdom and the understanding to be able to bring forth your message in a way that will be pleasing to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you give me the ability to speak plainly, speak clear, and not misspeak, as everybody who's heard me preach knows I have a habit of misspeaking, Lord. I pray, Lord, for your strength, for your wisdom, for your understanding, and I pray that you open up ears that they can hear and eyes that they can see. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, when you get to talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it scares people a little bit. When you say Holy Ghost instead of Holy Spirit, then people think, ooh, he's a little bit out there in his thinking. But I'm going to tell you right now, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in an anointing that comes upon you. I believe in people that at some point in their life decide that they want to rededicate their life. Now, why do I believe in that? because it's happened to me and it's happened to so many other people that I know. If you ever get your children saved or your grandchildren saved or your great-grandchildren saved, then you want to get them saved as early as you can get them saved, right? We want them to know Jesus from an early age so they grow up knowing the Lord and understanding the Lord. But the thing of it is, when we get them saved, that's exactly what we do, is we get them to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the truth of the matter is, they can't accept Him as Lord of their life because they don't understand what it is to make Him Lord of their life, because they're too young to understand, they're too immature to understand, and they've got other people that are basically Lord of their lives right now, which should be their parents, right? And so after they accept Jesus Christ as a young person, which I accepted Jesus Christ when I was early teens, and I still remember Danny Stahl and Anthony Miller coming to my house. Somebody dropped their ink pen. Danny Stahl and Anthony Miller coming to my house and knocking on the door and saying, we come to talk to you about Jesus. And I said, okay. And I looked up to these two guys because they played basketball at Litchfield High School, which is where I was going to be going in a year or two. And they said, we want to talk to you about accepting Jesus as your Savior. And I'm sitting there and I was like, didn't know I had to, you know. I've been raised up in the church, and they said, well, do you believe in Jesus? And I said, yeah, I've believed in Jesus as long as I can remember. And they said, well, then what you have to do is you have to pray to Him and ask Him to come into your heart and accept Him as Lord of your life. And so I said, okay. So I knelt down there and I prayed. And they said, okay, you're saved. And I said, all right. But what I found is that when I got into my teenage years, then my flesh was stronger than my belief in Jesus was. Although my belief in Jesus was always there, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Now, some of you all probably aren't that way, but that's the way I am. I want to do what I want to do. And the truth of the matter is, God wants us to do what He wants us to do. And unless you make Him Lord of your life, you're going to continue doing what you want to do instead of doing what He wants you to do. So when I got to be older, and I'm talking older, about the age of my grandson now, Jason, I was about 30 years old, and I decided that I wanted my children, my three daughters at the time, to go to church and learn about church and grow up in church like I had done. And I went to church and was talking to God one day and said, I want my children to get saved. And God said, well, why don't you get right first? And I'm like, I thought I was. And the thing of it was, and I'm not knocking any church, but when I grew up in Baptist church, I never heard anyone ever talk about the Holy Spirit. I never heard anyone talk about the Holy Ghost. I never heard anything about any power that was available to us as Christians. And whether that's right or whether that's wrong, I believe that's where we're failing in our understanding of what it is that God wants with us. God wants us to walk in power. God wants us to walk, as I like to say all the time, walk the walk of a victorious Christian, not having to walk feeling sad or ashamed or powerless. He wants us to walk in power and authority. But in order to do that, what we have to do is accept Jesus as Lord of our life. And as an adult, you have to make that choice. You really can't make that choice as a young person. As an adult, you have to decide, am I truly going to let Jesus be Lord of my life, or am I just going to accept this gift of salvation and go on doing what I want to do? Now, I made the choice that I was going to make Him Lord of my life, and my life changed drastically at that time. And one of the reasons it changed is suddenly I had this power. I had a power to be able to overcome the pull that my body and my flesh had on me. And I stopped drinking, and I stopped worrying about running around all the time. Not that I ran around a lot. I played ball a lot. I played sports, and that's what I did. And I never was somebody that got out and chased women or anything like that. I chased balls. You know, I played outfield most of the time when I was playing ball. And but that was the most important thing to me at the time. More important than my family, more important than God, more important than anything else was me getting out and playing ball and enjoying myself doing it. And then I found out that there was things that were more important to me in my life. Now, after I got into church, the church I got into was a Pentecostal church. And I saw some wild things happen there, I'll just tell you, I did. And I didn't understand them. Don't understand them to this day, to tell you the truth. But there's a lot of things that happened within that church. But the one thing that I did understand was I had some people that were encouraging me to get right with God. And Wayne Clemons was the biggest one. And Wayne Clemons took me on as a project. And he and I played a lot of basketball together, but Wayne encouraged me to make Jesus Lord of my life. And in a Pentecostal church, I did that. And because I was in a Pentecostal church, it was easy to understand then the power of the Holy Spirit in that process. Because if you're not in what is called a Spirit-filled church or Spirit-led church, then you really don't understand the power that's available to you. Now, what we see in the book of Acts here is that Jesus told them that they would receive power. And they did receive power on the day of Pentecost. Then the Holy Spirit came down like fire, and they started speaking in tongues. Some people say they really weren't speaking in an unknown tongue, though, because everybody was hearing them in their own language. I don't know. I don't understand all that either, just to be honest with you. I know that that the gifts of tongues is a gift that God gives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that that a lot of people have that gift. I never received it. I've prayed for it before. I've been at this altar praying for it. Because I had a mentor of mine who told me, he said it's available for everyone. I never did get that gift, but I did get power in my life, and I got some other gifts in addition to that. But I don't want to talk about tongues. I don't know why I got off on that. Tongues is a gift of God. It really is. It's given through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of people who I would trust with my life that use that gift on a regular basis. But everybody doesn't get that gift. But everybody does get the gift of power. Now, what is the gift of power to? Let me get back to my message a little bit here. I can't seem to prattle on sometime. I'm going to turn again in Acts to chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 33. And verse 33 says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." Now, this is Peter preaching. "For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So what does that mean? That right there says that the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. We're the ones that are far off. That promise is still for us, that we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is power. And what we need in this day is power. Why is it that we need this power? Well, Jesus told us in my opening scripture there that we were to be witnesses for Him. That's what that power is all about. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Now, all of these gifts and other things that go along with the Holy Spirit, then all of those still work together to do what? To make us witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's where the power comes in. That's the power that we need here in this church. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people walking in church that don't walk in that power because they never got beyond the gift of the salvation. They never have asked Jesus to give me more. And more is available. Not only is available, some people will say that it's needful, necessary, in order for you to be the person that God has called you to be. Now, if you have never asked God for any power in your life, then you're missing out on the walk that God would have for you. Now, what's the purpose of this power? I've got a whole list of stuff here. It's the power to witness. It's the power to witness. And the Spirit empowers us to witness. Jesus told us that right off the bat, to be witnesses for Him into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're supposed to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. It's the power to live a holy life. Now, what is a holy life? If you think a holy life is a sinless life, then you're never going to be in a holy life. A holy life is a life that is set apart for service unto Jesus Christ. Now, all of us should be living a holy life because we should be set apart from the world. We're going to be in the world, but we're not going to be of the world. And what we should be doing is being set apart is we should be different in the way we walk, different in the way we talk, different in what we do. And that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. But if you have never accepted the gift of the Holy Spirit as an adult because you never decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, then you're missing out on that power. Another purpose of it is the power to overcome. John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. What does that mean? That means that we have spiritual battles that we face every day of the week. And if you're going into this without ever accepting Jesus as Lord of your life, then you're going into this weaponless. You have no power to be able to stand up in those battles. Even though maybe you've accepted the gift of salvation, if you've accepted the gift of salvation, you've got the Holy Spirit living within you. But if you're not allowing Jesus to be Lord of your life, then that Holy Spirit is living in you, but it's not leading, guiding, directing you in the way that will get you to be an overcomer. To overcome the things that the world throws at us every day, every day. Another one is the power to love. Romans 5:5 says, God's love is poured into our hearts by the Spirit. Let me just tell you this about love, all right? Love is not a touchy-feely thing. It can be, but the love that we're talking about here is above that love. It's an agape love, and it is an action word. And an agape love is showing people love through your action, regardless of how you feel about that individual. And I'm going to tell you what, I have been able to experience the love of God in my life because I've been able to show love to people who I just absolutely cannot stand. And I'm just telling you, I've got good reason not to stand them, just so you know. It's not somebody that me and them just don't get along. It's somebody that has done my family wrong. Wrong enough that I should not in my flesh be able to try to be a help to them and show them love through my action. But I can. And it amazes me when it happens, because I'm going to tell you right now, that's not of me. I'm not a touchy-feely guy. I'm not somebody that shows love easily. I'm just not. And I can't believe that none of my family is amening me here. But anyway, it also gives you the power to persevere. The power to persevere. Now, what does that mean? Well, the truth of the matter is, it means staying in the fight until it is all over. Now, here's the thing. We're staying in the fight because a lot of times we're getting beat up, but we have to persevere through it because we know that we're the winner in the end, right? That means if you're going to be a Christian, you have to take a lot of body blows and a lot of headshots. But the power of the Holy Spirit will give you that. Let me read this scripture. Because this is a scripture that I believe a lot of people need. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. Says, "He give power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's the power to persevere in all of these situations. And that is the power that's available to us through the Holy Spirit. Watch where I'm going. All right. I just want everybody to understand that the same Spirit that empowered the early church is the same Spirit that can empower us. That we can feel that power each and every day if we will just accept it. And you say, okay, well, how is it that we receive this power? I'm glad you asked that. The first thing that we have to do is we have to ask. In Luke 11:33 says, "No man, when he lighteth a candle, putteth it under a secret place, and neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick." Now I'm on the wrong verse. 11:13. I have to be able to read my own writing. 11:13. "If ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" That's all we have to do is ask. Well, I say that's all we have to do, but it's not. We also have to surrender. Romans 12:1 says that we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that is our reasonable service. And that word reasonable means the least that we can do. We should be doing more than that. But anyway, we have to surrender ourselves to God. And if you will accept the power of that Holy Spirit, then it'll be Christ living in you, and it'll be easier to do. But you also have to expect that once you ask, once you surrender, then you have to understand that God rewards those who seek Him. And then the last thing is obey. And God gives the Spirit to the ones who not... I don't want to make this seem like it's something that is you earned by doing what is right, because it's not. So even though we have to obey, the way that we obey is we have to have our heart right with God, to where the intent of our heart is to do what God wants us to do. Truth of the matter is, none of us do it all the time. We just don't. But if we want to do it, and God will honor the intent of your heart by giving you the power to be able to do it. And I've heard people, there was a couple standing out here talking to me and Mary one day, and they were saying, but you don't understand, it's easy for you, you're church people. And I'm going to tell you right now, just because you go to church doesn't make it easy. But I have, since I have accepted Jesus as a young boy, I have had a desire in my heart to do what is right. I just have always had that desire. Now, I don't always do it, but I've had that desire. God honors that desire. God honors the intent of your heart. So that's the obey part. I don't want you to think that it's all performance based, because it's not. Nothing that we do is performance based. If it is, we would really be in a world of trouble. I'm going to tell you right now, because most of us, our performance is pretty bad, and I'm speaking for myself. All right. So it's right at 11 o'clock. I am good or what? Jenny, do you care to come up? All right, let me just tell you this right now. This church does not need more talent. This church does not need more programs. This church does not need more polish. What this church needs is power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in everybody that is working within this church, of everybody that walks into this church. We need them to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And somebody will say, well, I received the Holy Spirit when I was baptized, and you can't get no more than that. Well, the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And He will step aside and let you run your life as long as you want to. But if you choose to let Him run it, then He will take you where you need to go. All right. The kind of power that I'm talking about breaks chains. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's some people in here that have some chains that are holding them back. And the power of the Holy Spirit will break those chains. The power of the Holy Spirit also heals hearts. And we've got a lot of people in here that have some broken hearts. And it doesn't have to be that way. The power of the Holy Spirit will help you heal that broken heart. The power of the Holy Spirit emboldens witness. And we need a lot more witnessing. That's what God's called us to do. We should be doing it every day. It's good when we can come and testify. I invited somebody to church this week. You know, it is good that we can do that, but that should be the least of it. You know, The power strengthens the weary. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have been weary. And I have gotten the strength that I don't know where it's come from. Well, I do too know where it come from. It come from God. And it's the power that glorifies Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm gonna have an invitation as they sing a song. But this invitation is for you to come up and truly ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. If you've never done that before, I challenge you to do it right now. And you can come up to this altar and you can do it, or you can do it in your seat. But I challenge you to ask Him right now for that power, for you to be able to walk in that power. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that there's some people in here that I would just about guarantee you have never done that before in their life, and they won't do it today. Why? Because we're afraid. We're afraid of what we'll get called to do. And truth is, you already have a call on your life. But in order for you to be able to answer it, you're going to have to ask for that power to be able to do it. So, this altar is open as they sing.